Tonight, we're going to look at a verse that has kind of been on my mind for a good while. Somebody had mentioned it, and for some reason it's just stuck with me. And I kept thinking week after week that this would be the week that the Lord would want me to teach on this verse, and it never has been. And this week seems to be it. So we're going to start in Psalm 66. Psalm 66. And what we're going to look at is one of the conditions that God puts on us for Him to hear us. And that seems kind of weird at first, that God doesn't always hear us. We think that every time we say something to Him, He hears it. But it just, there are conditions on that. And there are several of them. We're going to look at this one primarily. And if we don't meet that condition, He doesn't hear the things that we say. He doesn't hear our prayers, and He doesn't even hear our praise if we don't meet this condition. So tonight we're going to see what that condition is and try to understand it and see how we can fix that problem. And the thing about it is that it's a fundamental problem that we all have. And until we deal with that problem well, it hinders, I think, both God hearing us, what it clearly says here, but I think it also hinders us hearing Him. So let's look at Psalm 66. And we're going to start in verse 16. Psalm 66, 16. The psalmist says, "Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul. I cried to Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me." And the verse that we're going to focus on is verse 18. It says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." What will He not hear? Well, in verse 17, He says, "I cried to Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue." So this word here, cried, means to call out to yell out for help. It's kind of like if you've falling down and you're hurt and people are way over there and you're yelling out to them to come and help you. It's that kind of crying out for somebody to come to your rescue, to come and to help you. And He says, "I cried out to the Lord with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue." What does the word extolled mean?
Praised.
Praised. Exalted. Lifted up, raised up on high. To extol someone or something is to raise it up in a high place for everyone to see, to make it visible to everyone around you. And that's what praise is really all about, making God more visible to other people. And He says here that I cried out to God for help, and when He helped me, I raised Him up, I lifted Him up for other people to see. I praised His name and let other people know what God did for me. And He says that if I had regarded iniquity in my heart, that the Lord would not have heard me. He would not have heard my praise, and He would not have heard my cry for help. But it says that He did hear. So the good news is that there's a way for us to deal with our iniquity. And fundamentally, that starts when we get saved, right? When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He cleanses us from all of our sins. And He makes us acceptable to God. That's the first thing that God really hears from us. The first thing that He will listen to from us is, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm wrong. I repent. I want to turn and change my way, and I want You to save me. And I believe on what You did on the cross." That's the first thing that we say to Him that He hears. And it's not that He can't hear the words. Because this word hear has more to do than just being able to hear the words, the audible sound. It has to do with paying attention to, listening to, and granting the request that you make. See, it's not that God isn't capable of hearing the sound that comes out of our mouth. It's that He refuses to pay attention until we repent. So as an unbeliever, until the time that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He doesn't listen to our prayers. That first one that He listens to is the one where we repent. And when we do that, that's the first time that we have dealt with the iniquity that's in our heart, with the sin that's in our heart. And when we do that, He hears us. And then from that point forward, He will hear our prayers. But even though He has saved us from our sin, even though He's cleansed us from our sin, still, if we are living a sinful lifestyle, or if we're regarding iniquity in our heart, and we'll see what that means in a minute, that is a hindrance to Him hearing us, both when we pray to Him and when we extol Him, when we praise Him. He doesn't even want to hear our praise from us if we're regarding iniquity in our hearts. And He definitely doesn't want to hear our requests. So here He says, if I regard iniquity, what does it mean to regard something?
Consider.
What was that?
You make known, you regard.
Pay attention.
Pay attention to. Yeah, that's a very good word for it. So this word to regard means when you give somebody regard, that means that you kind of think well of them, that you like them. That, you know, they're, you know, like you'll write a letter and then one way that you can end a letter is regards, Anthony. That means I think well of you. So to regard iniquity in our heart means to think well of iniquity, to like our sin, to have a desire for it. Another translation translates it cherish. If I cherish iniquity in my heart, if there's some sin that I still cherish in my heart, then God won't hear me. He won't listen to me. He won't pay attention to the things that I say. It means to look at it. Like, so if I regard iniquity, then I'm paying attention to it. I'm looking at it. I'm kind of evaluating it. Do I like this thing? Do I want it? It's something that I give my attention to. And it also means to learn about it, to observe it and to watch it and go, I don't know, that looks pretty good. You know, and continually consider that thing. What is iniquity? Sin? Wickedness, evil, unrighteousness, the things that aren't right from God's perspective. We talked about that last time. The standard of right is God. So righteousness is being right with God. It's an interesting word, though, because it literally means an empty thing. It's oftentimes translated vanity. You know, like in Ecclesiastes, it says everything is vanity. Sin is one of those things that looks like it's a great thing, but it's really empty when you get it. There's no real value there. It can only do you harm. And it's all the things that the world has to offer. So if we regard or desire or give attention to or cherish or consider sin and wickedness and evilness and the things of the world around us that are empty and that go away, if we regard them in our heart, if there's a desire deep in us for this thing, and we think about it with our mind, and we have this want of this thing, and we choose that thing from time to time, that puts a barrier between us and God. And when we do that, He will not listen to us. He won't listen to our requests. And He won't listen to our praise. He stops paying attention to us. That sounds like a bad thing, right? I mean, I don't want to be in a place where God won't hear me, where He doesn't care to hear my praise, where He doesn't care to hear my prayers. So I want to deal with iniquity. So let's get a little bit more examples of some things that are iniquity. Let's start in Proverbs 21. Because iniquity is one of those words that's just kind of hard for me sometimes to like put skin on it, you know, to make it real and to kind of think of what are examples of this sort of thing where if I do this kind of thing or regard that even, it's not even just doing it. You know, we talked about that before. The scripture makes it clear that the sin starts at the time that I regard it, right? The Pharisees said, I haven't committed adultery. Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust after her, you committed adultery. They said, I haven't committed murder. They said, if you hate a person, you've already murdered them and you're guilty. See, the sin starts at the time that I regard the iniquity, not at the time that I commit the iniquity. So what are some examples of this? Proverbs chapter 21. And verse 13. Proverbs 21:13. Whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. So this is an example of a situation where God won't listen to us. If the poor cry out in need and we don't have compassion on them and provide for them, then when we cry out to God, he won't hear us. That's some of the kind of iniquity that he's talking about, ignoring the cries of the poor. I think too oftentimes churches today have these standards about helping people and helping the poor that are completely unbiblical, that are contrary to what God would have us to do. And what they do, when we have these rules in our church that keep us from helping the poor when they cry out, you know what we just did? We just committed an iniquity that shuts off God from hearing us. He doesn't want to hear our singing, our praise. He doesn't want to hear our cries because we would not hear the cry of the poor when they cried out for help. Another example puts flesh on this. Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28, verse 9. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. So if we don't want to hear what the scriptures have to say, if we don't want to read them, and if we don't want other people to tell us about them, if we don't want to listen to preachers preach about them, if we don't want to listen to teachers teach about them, then God doesn't want to hear from us. So if we turn our ear away from hearing his law. Now turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Verse 3. It says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Why do we ask for things and it seems like God doesn't hear? Well, it's because God doesn't hear. Right? He refuses to listen. And the reason why is because we're regarding iniquity in our heart. We're desiring sinful, wicked, and wrong things. And that's what it says there in the last part of this. You ask amiss, or you ask wrongly, you ask for the wrong things in order that you may spend it on your pleasures. And because the motive for our prayer is one that comes from iniquity in our heart, he doesn't listen at all. Therefore, we don't get the things that we ask for. So these are just a few examples of the kinds of things. Because when you first read this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, you're thinking, you know, we tend to think about, well, he must be talking about these really bad things that other people do, right? The kinds of things that he's talking about is things like not listening to poor people when they cry out for help and helping them. It's things like just not really wanting to hear God's law, not being interested in it, not wanting to read it. It's things like asking him for things just because we desire them, because the King James says that we consume them on our lust, the things that we want to do that come from our sinful desires. So if those are the kinds of things that when we regard them or consider them, they result in him not listening to us, what are some examples? Let's put a little bit of skin on the kinds of things that we should do so that he, what are the things that we should be regarding so that he will hear us? Let's start in Psalm chapter 8. Now, as we mentioned a while ago, this word regard also means to consider, to be thinking about these things and considering whether or not I should do them, and considering whether or not they're what I want in my life. So in these three verses that we look at, that word, it's the same Hebrew word, but it's translated consider instead of regard in these places. So in Psalm chapter 8, beginning in verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, then I ask myself this question. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? So the kinds of things that we should be considering instead of iniquity, the kinds of things that we should be regarding instead of the iniquity in our heart, is we should be considering ourselves relative to who God is and what he's done. And that's what he's saying here. He says, when I consider your heavens, when I consider the heavens that you made and the work of your fingers, every little detail that you made. You know, it's really amazing how immense what God created is. And it's also amazing how minute it is. How he created a universe that is beyond our ability to really even measure. And he created us and the whole universe out of particles that are really too minute for us to even conceive of and measure. I mean, they're just super teeny tiny. And that shows his fingers and workmanship in the whole thing. So the things that we need to consider is him and the amazing things that he's done, the things that he has ordained. And then ask the question, who am I that you even pay attention to me? And the Son of Man, that you are willing to visit me, that you're willing to come to me. So that's the attitude that we should have. That's the thing that we should be thinking about. Not about our sins and our desires for those things, but our God and how amazing he is. And how amazing it is that he cares about us as unimportant as we are. Not only does he care, he visited us. Jesus Christ came and visited us here on this earth in the flesh. He lived and experienced the things that we experienced because he cared enough about us to live the life that we live in a way that pleases God and then give that life for us. That's what we need to be considering, how this great God is willing to pay attention to us rather than about our desires and how much we want them. Another thing that we should consider is in 1 Samuel that's to the left of Psalms, just a few books, 1 Samuel chapter 12. First Samuel chapter 12, beginning in verse 19. And here we have a situation. Israel is living in the promised land. And all the countries around them had something that they didn't have. Anybody know what that was? What did all the countries around them have that they didn't have and they wanted one?
A king.
A king, right? That's that whole idea of regarding iniquity in our heart, desiring things that we shouldn't desire. That thing like James said, you ask for these things and you don't get it because you ask to consume it on your lust. Well, you know what happens sometimes? We ask for those things and God gives them to us. To teach us a lesson, right? That's what he did to Israel. They said, everybody around us has a king. We need a king. And he said, all right, I'll give you a king. So here's where we are. Verse 19. And all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God that we may not die. For we have added to all our sins the evil of asking a king for ourselves. Then Samuel said to the people, do not fear. You have done all this wickedness. Yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. He says, you don't have anything to be afraid of, even though you've done all these bad things, if you'll do this. Instead of completely turning away from the Lord, if you'll turn back to Him and follow Him with all your heart, then you don't have anything to fear. Verse 21, and do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things that cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. So that's that same thing. See, when it said regard iniquity, it talked about that word iniquity means vain or empty things that are of no value and worthless. That's what he's saying here. He says, be careful. Don't turn aside and go after empty things which have no profit in them and can't deliver you because they are nothing. Those are those things that we tend to desire in our hearts. So they desired that king. We have things like that that we desire. We need to not do that. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because as it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way. So he says, I will pray for you so that God doesn't destroy you. And at the same time, I'm going to teach you the good and the right way. See, you was going the bad and the wrong way, seeking after something that God did not want you to have just because everybody else had it. I'm going to teach you the good and the right way. Verse 24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. So there's that word, consider, regard. He's saying, fear the Lord, serve him in truth, in reality, with all of your heart. Don't try to fake him off, because you can't do it. And what you need to do is to consider or regard him in the great things that he has done for you. So instead of regarding iniquity in our heart, we need to recognize that because we're sinners, God had every right and should have destroyed us. But he didn't. He did great and wonderful things for us. And we should recognize those and regard those and have respect for those and think on those things. Consider those things instead of the wickedness that's in our heart. And if we'll do that, then he will hear us. So we should consider the greatness of creation, how great he is compared to ourselves. We should consider the good things that he's done for us rather than all those empty things which cannot profit that our sinful heart tends to desire. And the last one, Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. This is an interesting one. Proverbs 24, beginning in verse 30. He says, I went by the field of the lazy man. Ever done that? Gone by somebody's house that is obviously lazy, and it tends to be fairly obvious from the house and the shape that it's in. That's what he says. And by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone walls were broken down. And when I saw it, I considered it well. There's that word again, that same word as regard. I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, so shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an iron-armed man. So not only should we be considering God and how great He is, relative to how small and insignificant we are, not only should we be considering the good and great things that God has done for us in saving us, compared to the empty and unprofitable things that are all around us that we tend to desire, but we should also look at the people around us. The people who have been regarding iniquity in their heart. The people who live their life in that way and observe, consider the ends of those things. The result of that sort of lifestyle. The result of chasing after emptiness. The result of chasing after iniquity. The result of chasing after the desires of our hearts. And when we see that and we see how it affects other people's lives, we need to be like the writer of Proverbs here. We need to consider it well, look on it, and receive instruction. And from that, get the wisdom that we need to depart from iniquity. So if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I look at it, I cherish it, I watch it, I consider it, I pay attention to it, I want it, then God will not listen to me. He'll ignore me. He will ignore my praise. He'll ignore my prayers. Examples of the sorts of things we're talking about is not paying attention to poor people when they cry out for help. It's things like not having a desire and not being willing to listen to God's law, not being willing to read it, not being willing to listen to preachers preach it or teachers teach it. It's just asking Him and desiring and consuming things just because we want them, things in the world. Instead of doing that, we need to be considering how awesome God is and constantly keep that in our mind, that our God created everything and He pays attention to us. He pays so much attention to us that He was willing to save us by the death of His very own Son. Think about how good the things are that He has done for us. How much better they are than those things that our hearts, those sinful things that our hearts tend to desire, that only destroy us. And see examples of that around us. They're all around us. We can see examples on every side. So the thing about it is oftentimes we will indulge in this desire of iniquity at kind of a small level. So we don't necessarily experience the ends of those things, right? Sin for a season seems sweet, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It will destroy you in the end. If we'll look around and see people who have followed that path all the way to the end, I think that will help us to learn from that and realize how serious God is about it. Sometimes we think He's not that serious because we haven't gotten that far into it yet. And when we look around and watch, like in the example that He gave there of a person who's so lazy that their whole house is overgrown and their walls are falling down and their vineyard is useless. We see someone who has gone to that end, then we can learn from that. And we can do that with whatever our problems are. I want to end with a quote from a man named John Bunyan. Ever heard of him? He wrote a book called The Pilgrim's Progress. A few hundred years ago. I've had this quote for a very long time too. And it's been one of those things where I've had it sitting there on my little desk at home, and I keep thinking over and over, I'm going to get to use this in my lesson, next week. And it'll come next week. I'm like, okay, Lord, do I get to use it? And he's like, nope. Okay, do I get to use this? Nope. But it's so good. I want to use it. Tonight's the night. I probably the built it up. Yeah, the suspense is killing you. I probably built it up too big. Here's the quote. It says, if a man will depart from iniquity. So if we want to separate ourselves from this kind of iniquity so that God will hear our prayers, hear our praise, and be close to us. That's another thing that the scripture says, that not only does he not hear us, but he's far away from us. If a person will depart from iniquity, he must depart from his darling sin first. For as long as that is entertained, the others, at least those that are most suiting with that darling, will always be haunting him. See, the example that we saw in Proverbs of the lazy person, that was their darling sin, laziness. Some of us may not have that problem at all. We may go, yeah, okay, whatever. I don't have that problem. But the reality of it is, and I think, I know it's true for me, I know it's true for other people who have talked to me about these sorts of things, and I think it's probably true of most people, is that most all of us have that one darling. And you know what it is, right? There's that one sin that just comes natural to you. That one darling sin. And out of that tends to blossom all the other problems that we have regarding iniquity in our heart. That one thing, we just kind of cherish it. It's the one that we protect. We deal with all these other things. I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do this. Usually there's all these things that other people do that I can say I don't do. But there's this one thing. There's this little darling that's near and tender to my heart. This one thing that my heart tends to, whenever it gets a chance, go back to it. We got to deal with that. That's where we start. See, what we tend to do is we'll cherish the darling and we'll go and deal with everything else. And then we're still frustrated because God seems far. We're still frustrated because it doesn't feel like he's hearing us. We're still frustrated because he doesn't feel close. It's probably because he's not. Because we're cherishing that darling iniquity, that darling sin that just comes so natural to us that we just go right back to without even thinking about it. That's the one we need to start with. See? We need to start with that one. That's the one. That's the seed from which all the rest of these problems come. We need to start with that one. And it's different for every one of us. You know what it is. Identify that darling sin and deal with it. And when we do, then all these others we'll be able to deal with much easier. Because that's the hard one. And when we deal with it, then we get in a place where we're close to God and we hear him. We're in a place where he is near to us. And he hears us. We're in a place where we ask him for things and we receive them. We're in a place where we praise him and in the presence of him just seems so close and real and personal. Until we deal with that darling, then we're probably regarding it. We're probably cherishing it. We're probably watching it and considering it, thinking about it, paying attention to it. And that is separating us from our God. That's keeping us from being what he needs us to be so that we can do what he needs us to do. And there are specific things that he has, the scripture says in Ephesians 2:10, that he has foreordained that I should walk in and that each one of you should walk in. And all that he needs us to do is get in the place where he can use us to do those things. And he will. Mm-hmm.